Breaking the stigma of addiction.
This is Zach's Life, a story of love, addiction, loss, grief, and recovery.
Reflecting on Zachary Horton
and others in our community, both inside and outside of their addiction.
Hosted by Jim Horton
of the Zachary Horton Foundation.
Hi, nice to meet you, Tim.
How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good. How are you?
Good, very good. Well, I want to tell my audience tonight how excited I am to be able to spend some time with both of you and have you share some of the exciting work that you're doing. And I think what's most exciting, so it'll be interesting to know that you two are the first teenagers that I've ever had on the show. So this is, this is great. And in fact, I met both of you. It was last fall. I came out to Dinuba High School with a couple of friends and did a presentation to some of your classmates and then to your instructors also. And I was so surprised that when I was there, you both had a table with flyers and there was information that you were passing out. And so we kind of work in the same space. So tell everybody, first of all, what is the name of your campaign?
Our campaign is called One Pill Will Kill. And it's a campaign that focuses on the dangers of fentanyl and opiate overdoses. And our main goal is to target teens and people who are in the younger generation, because everyone's affected by it. But I believe that teens are very uneducated on it most times. And I feel like if people their age begin to talk out about it, then it kind of interests them a lot more.
Absolutely. And that's what was so exciting about the chance that I had to come in and speak with you, was to see then somebody from that class and from that peer group that was already talking about that. Because it's one thing to see an old guy up there telling people what they should do, but then it's something else when their own peers, you know, are helping to carry that message out. So yeah, that was just so awesome. So tell me, how did you both get involved in this, in this space and in this work?
Well, our whole campaign started because we are both in this class called Med Academy. We're in the Med Academy, and within the Med Academy, there is a competition called HOSA. Before the school year started, we were planning on competing in HOSA, and one of the HOSA events, there's like multiple different events that you could compete for, and one of the events is community awareness. And we really wanted to do this competition because we really wanted to just make our community aware about something. And like, as time passed and we started thinking about what to do, we came across like fentanyl awareness and opioid addictions, because it is such like a, like, especially now, I think it's such a growing problem. And I think we really took interest to it.
So tell me, have either of you heard of or seen anything that has affected your campus directly or your friends that's related to opiate overdose or addiction? Is that something that's common in your neighborhood or in your school?
I think it's definitely relevant in our school, especially with our age group. I know that there's like a lot of our peers who are involved with drugs. And I think that it really hit close to home, that this topic, because we really wanted to educate them, because we know that they are involved with them. And just by educating them, it's possibly providing more safety for them.
And when we took a look at the Tulare County rates for opiate overdoses, we were just so surprised about how many of the people who were passing away were tragically teens, and losing their lives at such a young age is so difficult for their family, for their friends, and so devastating for what their future could have held for them. So we want to prevent this, to prevent hurt for future families and to help our peers see a brighter future for themselves.
Yeah, especially with the campaign too, I have a personal connection with it. My brother passed away from it, like, I think about 3 years ago. So it's like really like meaningful to me too, to especially spread this message to prevent that from happening to other families.
Well, and as you know, I lost my son to an opiate overdose as well. So I definitely feel for you. And I got to say how courageous and brave it is to be out there. Cause I know how it feels every time I step out and talk about it, but I know how important it is, right? Yeah. Share that story that happened and then to do everything we can to help other people not have to walk down that same path.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit. So what are some of the things that you've already done with One Pill Can Kill? What have you, what kind of, days have you had or?
One Pill Kill has definitely been such an eye-opening journey, not just for us and not just for our peers, but for us. Like, of course we were aware of it and that's why we wanted to spread the message, but getting more involved and educating ourselves more and more on this topic made us realize how close to home it actually hits and how it actually affects almost everyone around us. And what we've done so far is every school event that we have, almost every football game, basketball game, we are trying to, as well as your guest speaker assembly, we're trying to take as many opportunities as we can and get the most largest audience of our school that we can get, because it's our peers who are suffering from this epidemic.
Yeah, and at those events we've been tabling, passing out our flyers and brochures just to get a bigger outreach.
And our pamphlets, our brochures have information on what the symptoms and what someone who's suffering through an overdose would be experiencing and how you can notice and call for help. And then it also has information on what opiates are and what Narcan is.
Awesome. And now I know that because I had the privilege of training and distributing Narcan to a lot of your teachers the day that I was there. So I know that you have a lot of Narcan on campus, which is great. Not every high school has that, but you're very fortunate to have that. So getting that message out, right, is so important as well. Yeah. So that's incredible. So tell me, how is your message accepted by other students? Because, it's been a few years since I was in high school. Mm-hmm. I remember that being different, right, from what everybody else was, wasn't always a popular thing. And so I'm almost assuming that's probably the same now. But tell me, how are your peers accepting your message, or do you get questions from them, or what's that experience like for you?
I think that there's definitely a lot of good that comes with it, and there also could be some bad, but I think that with our peers, they've been really accepting of our message, especially because, like, I have a personal connection with it, and they know my story, and they've just been really supportive with what we've been doing and in taking all the information.
And, of course, I think that's one thing that's never going to change. Throughout generations, kids are going to feel very, like, out of place and, like, they're not fitting in. That's something that's always going to continue. But I believe that obviously like Kylie said, there's a negative and positive side to our campaign. But I think a lot of our students have also noticed ever since even quarantine, and there's a lot more students out there with personal stories to the loss of opiate overdoses. And I believe they're actually interested in learning about it. And even maybe when it comes to themselves and they know that they're suffering from an opiate addiction themselves and or a peer or a grown up that they know. Our goal audience has definitely been very supportive of our campaign.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, just speaking about that, about how I think this impacts, kids your age. I spoke a week or two ago to a fraternity at Fresno State. And I asked that group of students how many in the room knew someone who had passed away from an overdose. and it was almost half of the room. So there were probably 40 young men there, and over half of them knew someone who had died from an overdose. And that blew me away. And I recalled that I was 27 or 28 years old before anyone I had ever went to school with died. Right. There was a couple kids from college got killed on a motorcycle accident. And that was it. And then after that, no one passed away that I knew. And unless it was a grandparent or parents, you know, when I was, you know, much, much older. So it's a whole new, I think, challenge that your generation has to deal with, where there are people at your school right now that already know people that are severely affected by addiction and that have died from overdose. I mean, that's, you know, in some ways I think that's something that you shouldn't have to be dealing with yet, the mental health effects and the trauma with that. And of course, you know, we experienced a lot of that too. I mean, think about, you know, through the whole COVID epidemic with extended families, and, you know, many of us had grandparents or older aunts and uncles that passed away, right, during that. So, I mean, that's traumatic in itself, but then to have that affected as much as it is, again, with overdose at your age group, it's just a sad fact, right, of where we're at. Do you have people that, because they know you, you kind of share in this space, that come to you and almost like look to you like a counselor, or like they want to come and talk to you about these issues? Do you get that from other students?
I think so far many students have been focused on our social media platforms and kind of just educating themselves first. I believe that if we take this campaign forward, as we keep moving on and we start a club, I do believe that many students may come to us or maybe go to an adult and feel more motivated to talk about their suffering is.
Yeah, definitely. I think that a lot of our peers, no one goes around saying, oh, I know someone who passed away from overdose. I feel like you don't really know those things. So when we have these assemblies or when we're doing tabling, like, you really find out a lot about people and like what they are going through. So I think that as our campaign does progress on, I think that we'll be able to form like more connections with others.
Now, how about from teachers and administration from your school? Do you get a lot of support from them? Do you find that they're behind you? Are they a little hesitant, or what's their response been?
Our main HOSA teacher, Ms. Tanya Pennybaker, has been our biggest supporter through our campaign. And she's helped us reach out to many people, many faculty, and so many new opportunities were given to us because of Mrs. Pennybaker. And not just there, when we recently attended a town hall meeting with Eddie Valero that he invited us to, there was many district teachers that were there from Arosi and from Dinuba, ourselves, from many different areas. And we actually gave a speech there where they asked us questions at the end, and we got many teachers came up to us and they asked us to come visit their school, from middle schools to elementary to high school. And it shows how much of an impact and how interested people are in making this difference.
That is so awesome. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And it's got to feel good too, right? When you know that you're really, you know, making a difference, right?
Yeah.
In what people see and think. I don't know if you remember, one of the things that I say when I visit middle schools or high schools now is I always say how, in some ways, it's sad that the only time that we have any kind of discussion about drug awareness is during Red Ribbon Week.
Yeah.
1 week out of the year. And then I always say, you know, how much, if we only studied math one time a year, how much would we learn about math in all of our years in school, right? But that's what they expect, that 1 week of drug awareness is going to teach all of us everything that we have. And what you girls are doing there on your campus is you're holding that awareness right out there in front of everybody all the time, right?
Yeah.
And so that is really making a difference. That is so awesome. So let me ask about that. What is, as you think about where this campaign can go. And you're, I want to talk a little bit about what you do on social media and what that looks like, and really what kind of impact do you want to see happen in the future?
Recently, what we've been doing on social media so far is creating educational posts about opioid awareness and fentanyl abuse. We like to include our social media on our flyers and brochures so people could learn more about that. And I think that we provide a lot of good, useful information on our social medias. And in the future, I hope that One Pill Will Kill, we are thinking about currently turning it into an organization. I've been in touch with my cousin who's has an organization herself, and she's been like really encouraging us to possibly do that in the future. And I think I could definitely see us doing that.
Yeah. And, as well as I feel like, we really want to, keep expanding, the local events that we go to. So when we use our social media platform, we post, when we recently last week, we went to a local town fair in Visalia where we were able to reach, many people who were not privileged enough and were homeless and were seeing these devastating overdoses each day. And we had someone come up to us and take two boxes of Narcan. And he stated to us that he had seen two people just that morning overdose. And he had taken two boxes with him. And I hope that he was able to save a life. And I hope we were able to make an impact in his life. And I feel like he said it with kind of unfazed, which shows that how common it is and how painful it can be truly to not just teens, but even to grown adults. And it's becoming something that's normal to us. And we want to show that this should not be our future. Everyone has something brighter for them.
Yeah, I really wanted to bring that up because I think that experience with that man really showed us how normalized this is getting, because no one should ever be able to have to see two overdoses in one day and act like it's completely normal.
Right, right.
And he had stated that all he could do was slap them because he was not educated on what to do when someone's overdosing. And when you're in a group that is more common, where opioid overdoses are more common, and I think that it's so important to be educated. So we had many people come up to us that day, and they took flyers, they took pamphlets, and we were able to make a difference in at least one person's life, which keeps us these little like interactions that we have with people keep us motivated to keep growing this campaign and making something bigger and to keep changing lives.
Yeah, that is just so incredible. So incredible. Well, and promise me that when we're done today that you will get your social media information to me, and I will post it on the Zachary Horton Foundation website, so then people can always, you know, reach you through that, or they can always, you know, contact you and just see the things that you're doing. So anytime anyone comes to our website, they can click on that, and then they'll just go directly to you. And I'd really love to help any way that I can, you know, watch you guys just continue to grow. And when I have some events that are coming up, I will definitely let you know about them as well, because I'd love that. Yours is a voice that's so important. It shouldn't just be parents who have lost a child, right, that are out speaking out against it, or law enforcement that has, reason, and it's their job that they have to do it, right? But you're the ones, when you are a part of the generation right now that has a chance to make a difference, that has a chance to change some laws, for the future and really change the way that this looks. You'll be able to look back, you know, someday and say, a lot of the things that have happened and changed have been because of people like you that have created.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. So tell people what we're talking here. How can they find your social media?
We have an Instagram platform as well as a Facebook, and it's exactly our name of our campaign, which is Just One Pill Will Kill. It kind of rhymes, so hopefully that helps.
Yeah, and it could be found on our flyers and our brochures.
Okay, One Pill Will Kill. Awesome. Awesome. So as we kind of close up tonight, is there any, if you had to leave one message for people that are watching today, what would that be? What would you want them to know? What would you want to leave them with? What do you want to pass on?
I think, like, especially with me and like my personal connection to this, I think I just want everyone to know that, like, they are not alone in this battle, especially if you are abusing opioids or if you know someone who has passed away or is currently doing through that. I just want to let them know that they are not alone. We are trying to help this issue and possibly like lower the death rates. And I think that we just really want everyone to know that they're just not the only ones going through it.
And we would like to thank you and the audience who's watching this podcast right now, because it's people like you guys that will help us make a difference. And the fact that you guys have taken the time out of your day to watch this, and you've taken up time out of your day to hear about our project and to help spread our message, means the world to us and many other teens and adults who want a better future for themselves. And I believe that it's people like you guys that will help make a difference. So thank you guys for just simply being here today.
You're so wonderful. And I want to also pass on all of those same sentiments and really say to anyone who's, you know, who's watching this today that knows someone that's in trouble, our website at the Zachary Horton Foundation has many resources that can connect you. We have a Get Narcan Now button on our website. You can click on that. It will tell you in Fresno County where you can get. And that is, our resources are expanding to other counties where we're going to have that information everywhere. And we'll also be able to have One Pill Can Kill campaign on our resources as well. So you'll be able to click in and connect there. So
yeah.
Thank you, girls, so much for coming out. Promise me that we get to do this again. I'd love to meet you next year, and you can tell us. Now, tell me real quick, are you both graduating this year, or?
We're both sophomores.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so, oh, great. So we get to do this for a couple more years.
Yes.
This will be great. This will be awesome. So next year we'll get together again about this same time, and we'll just talk about all the things that are happening. And hopefully between now and then, we'll be able to do some things together with our organizations, and we'll be able to collaborate some. But I appreciate just everything that you're doing. And again, to our audience out there, in closing today, as I always say, reach out to someone you know. Let them know that you love them. I'm Zach's dad.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
This has been an episode of Zach's Life. Thank you so much for listening. For more info on our foundation and for addiction resources, visit ZacharyHortonFoundation.org or check us out on Facebook and Instagram. If you have a story to tell and want to be a guest on our podcast, email me directly at jim@ZacharyHortonFoundation.org.